I'm Afshin Ratansi and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE. Brutal NATO wars, the decline of US power, the accelerating rise of BRICS, economic catastrophe in Western Europe, all in the biggest election year in history after Russia, Pakistan and Bangladesh, there's South Africa, Mexico, India and the UK, and in November the USA. One trend forecaster correctly predicted the US dot-com crash, the US savings and loan corruption scandal, and the rise of gourmet coffee. Gerald Celente, he's founder and director of the Trends Research Institute and publisher of the Weekly Trends Journal, and he joins me now from Kingston in New York. Thank you so much, Gerald, for coming on away from the gourmet coffee. Booming stock prices. And the Biden administration openly proclaiming, more tragically, that war is good for business. Why are you not so sure about Keynesian militarism being pursued by NATO economies and avowedly by the Biden administration as a way to get him out of the hole that he's in ahead of November's elections?
Well, you know, it goes way back. Once upon a time, there was a president by the name of Dwight D. Eisenhower, five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces. And what does he tell the American people? The military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. Here we are, America. Infrastructure rotting in front of everybody's eyes for all to see. Homeless all over the streets. 63% of the people living paycheck to paycheck. Migrants flooding the streets. Oh, they just passed another bill, about another $1 trillion to the military-industrial complex. Look at the money spent already to fight the Ukraine war. The number is, depending on whose you look at, around $130 billion. How many billions are going to Israel war? No, the America, the business of America has become war since the end of World War II. And the nation has declined in front of everybody's eyes to see it. And again, you don't have to believe me. You could look at the facts. What was that latest poll that just came out? Out of the happiest nations in the world, America ranks 23rd.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that poll. Finland seemed very odd to be at number one. But you know very well, living there in New York, watching the way the media are clearly pro-Biden media there ahead of your election, with your opposition leader, Mr. Trump, facing all manner of courtroom trials. Top-line inflation figures are being trumpeted all the time as signs. What do you detect in these inflation numbers that are emerging from central banks and statistical authorities around the world, in NATO countries, really, and in the United States?
Well, in the United States, the numbers are rigged. They started rigging them in the 80s and 90s. So, for example, your median household, the median cost of a home in America is around $400,000. No, but we're going to put that number in. People rent houses, too. We have to come up with a new figure. The price of, let's say, steak went up 40%. Oh, that's right. People change their diet. They're eating differently. So we're not going to put that in. I'm not making this up. So when you look at the real inflation numbers, there's a site by the name of Shadow Stats. They're well over double what they're reporting. So what America's going into is dragflation, not stagflation. And by the way, Europe as well. Again, what do you have? Germany virtually in recession. You have the UK in recession. You have barely the companies or countries are pulling out of it. So when you're looking at dragflation, it's not stagflation. The economies are going to drag down and inflation's going to go up. Your median household income in America, meaning, let's say, two people and a child are working, is only $74,500. Your average cost of a car is around $50,000. The people are struggling. Going back to the campaign, as we've been saying, they're going to lower interest rates. They do it all the time in the run-up to the presidential reality show, and that's all it is. It's a reality show. It's a TV show. So, who is the Fed head? excuse me, the Treasury Secretary of the United States, Janet Yellen. What was her last job? Oh, she was the head of the Federal Reserve. Wait a minute. You mean the head of the Federal Reserve is the person in charge of America's money supply, the Treasury? That's right. And we're going to keep her there. So we're going to keep lowering interest rates to artificially keep propping up the economy in the run-up to the election. The lower interest rates go, the deeper the dollar falls. The deeper the dollar falls, the higher gold prices go up and the higher inflation rises. That's what we're looking at.
So as an economic strategy, in purely electoral terms, not a good one for the Biden administration, that it's like he wants to lose.
Oh, no, no. He'll boost up the economy. That's all they're interested in.
Like a brief
bubble. Look at those GDP numbers. Yeah, that's all they want to do. They'll boost up the economy and boost up the equity markets. The people don't know how, admit to how bad it is until the equity markets go down. The people are suffering now, but the media and the words coming out, oh, happy days are here again. So they use the equity markets, they use the GDP numbers to keep promoting that things are just fine and they're going to get better.
We saw the bailout of that Silicon Bank a while ago. What if Biden doesn't win the race between what you're saying about the figures being manipulated to make it look good on television and some major banks going under ahead of November?
Oh, it'll change everything. And they only could rig it to some extent. One of our top trends for 2024, one of them, by the way, is a golden year for gold. You know, we come out with these in the first week of January.
How long have you been saying that? The gold bugs have been saying that for years. Never happens.
Yeah, the gold prices have gone up 600% since the millennium began. Oh, so another one of our top trends is banks go bust. There's a banking crisis that's going to hit the United States the hardest and Europe as well. And it's because of when they launched the COVID war, Chinese Lunar New Year, the year of the rat, 2020, January, they told people, you can't go to work. You got to get back in your house. Get back in your house. So people are saying to themselves after they're staying in their home week after week, month after month, year after year, I'm getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to commute an hour and a half each way. I'm not going to do that anymore. Now I'm the guy that rents all this space. And let's say I have 300 people working in my office building that I'm renting. They're in cubicles. I don't see them anyway. Yes, stay home. I don't need all this space. We're going to have an office building bust that's going to crash the banking system. The facts are all there. The latest data is showing some, you mentioned Silicon Valley Bank. You go back to March of 2023 when Silicon Valley, First Republic, Signature, when they went broke, the markets went berserk. And that was only three banks. Now you have almost 300 small and medium-sized banks in America are coming under the pressure of the office building bust because people aren't renewing their lease. They have revolving loans. Now they have to pay more, the owners of the buildings, because interest rates have gone up. They don't have the money coming in. They're going to be defaulting on their loans. The banks bought up tons of treasuries when interest rates were down near zero. They're worth nothing. They don't have the money to bail it out.
But isn't that where the military canteen comes in? To murder children in the Middle East, the US government can launder money that way and subsidize those banks.
No way.
And we're talking the same scale as office space and commercial property.
Yeah, this is like nothing ever seen in modern history. Here, the numbers. In New York City, your office vacancy rate, meaning nobody there, that's only 23%. You look at what's going on in San Francisco, depending on whose numbers you're looking at, vacancy rate, 30%. Go to Castle System with a K. Look up your office occupancy rate, meaning people going to work in the 10 largest cities in America, around 50%. So now not only are the office buildings going bust, the businesses that depended on commuters, they're going out of business too. They're hurting. So we're going to see a banking crisis, the likes of which we have never seen in modern history.
And to disguise
And they're not
this...
going to be able to bail it out. They're not going to be able to bail it out.
Well, there's always someone to bail things out, isn't there? There always is. You just print the money. But to disguise this in the so-called mainstream media over there, I understand the headlines there are, it's China that's really having the problems. You noticed something about industrial output coming from Beijing numbers that may prove different to the gloomy predictions that we've had for the past 20 years, that China was going to descend into some kind of depression rather than bringing 800 million people out of poverty.
Yeah. Before I go on to that, I just want to go back to what you said about printing money. One of my lines, as I said, we don't see them being able to get out of this. One of my lines is, when all else fails, they take you to war. So when things get really bad, they get the people's mind off it. All you have to look is the dot-com bust. Little Georgie Bush, the little daddy's boy over there, born on third base. People couldn't stand him. The dot-com bust happened. America was going into a recession. 9/11 happens. Everybody forgets about it. The war on terror begins. Go back to World War II. Don't believe me? Go to history today. And what followed the Great Depression? World War II. But again, history today. President Franklin Roosevelt seized all Japanese assets in July of 1941. Oh, you mean the Japanese bombed in December? He seized all Japanese assets. How come? Why, those Japanese invaded French Indochina. Why, how dare the Japanese go there? The French were in Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, stealing and robbing and pillaging everything. Why, how dare they? And the United States, UK, and the Dutch put sanctions on Russia, Japan. They lost 3/4 of their global trade and 88% of their imported oil, and Japan imports 100%.
That's funny, because in all the history books, all the history books they teach in NATO countries, Japan just suddenly launched Pearl Harbor for no reason.
Exactly. So what I'm going back to, when you said, no, they're not going to be able to bail the banks out, they're going to ramp up war. That's what we see happening. Again, when you look what's going on in Israel, everybody forgets the 39 weeks of major protests against Netanyahu because of his Judicial Reform Act that he was trying to push through so he would not have to go and be brought up on the charges that he's being accused of. And not my words, but the president of Israel, Isaac Herzog, said, again, when 39 weeks of protests up to October 7th, when Hamas attacked in 2023, there's a civil war going on in Israel. Totally forgotten. When all else fails, they take you to war.
Gerald Salenta,
right there.
I'll stop you there. More from the founder and director of the Trends Research Institute and publisher of the weekly Trends Journal after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the founder and director of the Trends Research Institute and publisher of the weekly Trends Journal, Gerald Salenta. Gerald, in end of part one, you were talking about the option of going to war when you face problems at home. More generally, I know the Fitch, I don't know these rating agencies, I don't know what respect people have for them, frankly, and the fact they dropped the USA as a AAA rating. But we were talking also about the fact that problems at home are being disguised by this looming disaster in China, the end of China as a global power. What do you make of it? The news in mainstream media.
What we were saying is that, I mentioned before, the 20th century was the American century. And then we forecast that the 21st century would be the Chinese century, because the business of America has been war and the business of China is business. However, Again, when people used to call me, you know, a futurist, I said, nobody could predict the future. There are too many wild cards, whether they're made by humans or nature. And China played a wild card. Again, they went to war. China launched the COVID war in 2020, 3 years of zero COVID policy. They destroyed the lives and livelihoods of hundreds of millions of people in that country. And again, the damage done by the COVID war is incalculable. It's all forgotten. Let's go back again.
Yeah, we don't have the data on it.
Yeah, you go back and you look at China's boom. It's when they got into the World Trade Organization, the WTO, 2 weeks after 9/11, by the way, and Bill Clinton brought them in before that. That was when they officially came in. You look at their GDP, it's skyrocketing. When you have all of these booms in a nation, there's always overbuilding. So it was overbuilt. The boom was big. It was going great, but 3 years of zero COVID policy did incalculable damage to China. So now you have the real estate crisis because you have, again, depending on whose numbers you look at, almost 30% of China's GDP is real estate related. And the prices are going down. It was overbuilt. So now what's China doing? They're doing the same thing that happened in Russia when the Ukraine war began. You had companies pulling out, sanctions. And what we said in the Trends Journal is that Russia has all the human and natural resources they need to be self-sustaining. And you look at their GDP and they're self-sustaining. Let's go to China. 1.4 billion people, a lot of people. China is becoming more self-sustaining. They have the human and natural resources needed. That's what's going to build the Chinese economy. So that, it's going to be.
It makes these sanctions policies on China, which is now trying to be repeated, utterly ridiculous, presumably. I mean, they can't even satisfy their own demand at home.
Exactly. So they're going to be more self-sustaining and self-sufficient. It's better than globalization. It builds the internal, you're buying from your neighbors. You're not sending your money overseas. So China with 1.4, oh, they say, oh, the, you know, the birth rates are going down. They got 1.4 billion people. You go back, what, 100 years ago, they had, what, about 500,000, you know. So they got plenty of people and they have the human and natural resources and they're uniting with the other countries that have had enough of America's economic and geopolitical hegemony.
You predict increasing anti-Americanism or at least opposition to U.S. hegemony all around the world. What, in a matter of months of this year?
Oh, it's going on now. You know, it's like... recently, for example, I mean, America, as I said, even if you believe that poll, you don't believe it. Again, I'm a Napolitano that grew up in the Bronx, 1946, the height of the spirit of America, right after the war. That's all gone. It's all gone. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, it's gone, man. Again, a New Yorker. Now, I told you how the COVID war changed things. People are afraid to go out at night. Bars, they're closing down now, 12, 1
official
o'clock.
Official crime figures are down in New York.
Yeah, the official
from
crime
those
figures
70s.
Are the official bunch of baloney. It's the people on the street that see it, feel it, and hear it. Again, the bars are closing down now, 1 o'clock in the morning. We used to go out at 1 o'clock in the morning. Where I am up in Kingston, New York now, the towns are dead at 9 o'clock.
Okay, but you have the Hollywood cultural industry and huge media conglomerates to sell the image of the United States that you talked about romantically there all around the world to yep. make people think it's still like that, probably helping people seeking asylum from U.S.-backed wars to migrate there. But for the rest of the world, does that propaganda still allow...
No, they've had it. That's what I'm saying. The world, they've had it with America. Going back, you're seeing the alliances. with China and Russia and Iran and South Africa, the African nations. They've had enough. And again, let's go back to the numbers. They're going to lower interest rates. The lower interest rates go, the deeper the dollar falls. We are on the verge now of the death of the dollar. America has almost $35 trillion with a T of debt, government debt. Who could be in business like this?
Yeah, 97, but they, as you know, Janet Yellen would tell you, 97% of GDP, it doesn't matter because the dollar will still be used as a reserve currency. And sure, it is declining as a reserve currency of the world, but it's still used in that way. And of course, China has a lot of U.S. bonds.
Again, as the interest rates go down, the dollar is going to weaken. And a matter of fact, again, talking about China, they were the biggest buyers of gold. This year, the people from the beginning of the year, because they see the dangers there in China too, what's going on, they've increased their gold sales, the consumers, by 24% compared to last year. And China's the biggest country in the world buying gold reserves. I'm telling you, the dollar's going to go down. And this is the United States became the country that our founding fathers fought against, called the UK. What brought the UK down? Oh, the sun never sets on the British Empire. We could go to war anywhere we want. And after World War I, what happened to the pound? The pound went to crap because all the money and all the wars they spent the money on. Same thing's happening with America. The debt in America is going up $1 trillion every 100 days.
Okay, quick sidebar before we get to oil. What does it mean then for Western European currencies? The euro, the pound?
Euros, they're in trouble. They had how many years of negative interest rates to artificially prop up the economy? And now they're going to, I mean, Europe has had its day. Look at Germany. It used to be the boomer of manufacturing and export. They were in a virtual recession.
Well, it did lose a big pipeline, the Nord Stream pipeline supplying energy in a mysterious incident.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, they've had it and the world has had it. They're going against America's economic and geopolitical hegemony.
Joe Biden was in this region a while back, begging Saudi Arabia to reduce output of oil. Saudi, UAE, GCC, Russia, Venezuela all refused. Why is oil not going up more, given the refusal of OPEC nations to go with the United States orders?
Because of the wars going on, the Ukraine war and the Israel war. And again, you're looking at, again, just the facts. You mentioned, of course, with the Biden saying when they put the sanctions on Russia, and one of the things they did was cut off the oil supply going into and gas supply going into Europe, Putin will pay for this. No, Putin didn't pay. The people paid for it. And so going back to it, what's bringing up the prices and the concern is the war's going on. If recently Israel has killed a number of commanders in Syria, Iranian commanders, they are accused recently of bombing the Iranian oil depot and oil fields. If Israel goes to war against Iran, you're going to see oil prices spike to above $130 a barrel. And that's going to crash the equity markets and the global economy. Putting it into perspective, we forecast that Israel is going to continue this war, and it's going to continue to escalate. And as we have been warning since the Ukraine war began, is that as Ukraine loses, they are going to take more and more dramatic steps to get money from the United States and Europe, and doing so, things like all of a sudden a nuclear power plant blew up. They're going to escalate these wars. The more the wars escalate, the higher gas and oil prices are going to go.
But how will that help Joe Biden's election plans? And a kind of double question, just finally, because we're out of time. How easy will it be for these big tech companies? I know Tim Cook of Apple was in Beijing recently, to start leaving the United States and NATO countries and trying to go to the new BRICS countries to have headquarters.
Well, they're going to follow the money. They're going to do everything they can, and they control the government. They have a thing in America called elections. You can't run for anything unless you got a lot of dough behind you. And these are the guys that pay for the campaigns and everything else. They'll do what they want. They're in control. You got the banksters, you got the big tech, you got the drug dealers, the people called Big Pharma, and you got the military-industrial complex. They're in charge of America. They're the ones running the show. So again, Cook and the rest, they'll do what they want, go where they want, and do what they want, because they're only interested in the bottom line.
But if the Iran, if Biden is unable to control, he's enabling rather than controlling Netanyahu, that will be a calamity for the whole world economy then. So what should people do if they're not multi-billionaires?
Well, one of my things is GCs, Gerald Celente's GCs, 3Gs, guns, gold, and a getaway plan. No, this is serious. World War III, we believe, has already it's begun. There's going to be a false flag event that, quote, makes it official. Like I said, Pearl Harbor made it official. You know, the 9/11, the war on terror became official. Again, when all else failed, again, 88% of the American people believed a little boy like George Bush, we're going to get that guy Osama bin Laden dead or alive, and go into the Afghan war, the longest war in American history that we lost. 88% of the people believed a little clown boy. They're going to believe a guy that's out of his mind, too. The people rally around for war like that, and we say that that's going to be the card that the Biden administration plays, the war card.
Gerald Celente, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for the great show you put on and all that you do. I appreciate it.
Thank you. That's it for the show. Remember, we're bringing you brand new episodes every Saturday and Monday. Until then, you can keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV, on rumble.com to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you soon.